afraid to occupy the line when need be. I think when Gough Whitlam people advocated a 25% tariff cut, and the Liberal Party opposed it, John was one of the people up there arguing in favour of the run. So a brave politician. He developed, after his time in politics, the Australian Institute for Public Policy here in Perth, which then merged with the Institute for Public Affairs later in 1991. Now, I've reached a special guest speaker tonight to go into a bit more detail than I have on John's career. Now, being of the libertarian bent and being in WA, it's not often that you get much good coming from over East, particularly Canberra. We've had three AFL Premiership Cups, but otherwise, when something comes from the eastern states, it's usually carbon tax, mining tax, another tariff, or some kind of unwelcome intrusion. However, tonight we have a very welcome arrival here in the form of Mr. Rafe Champion. Now, Rafe is a bushman and a pioneer. He grew up on a dairy farm in Tasmania and studied agricultural science at the University of Tasmania. And on graduation, he decided that he wanted to use his line of work to address issues related to Wirrkunda. He found in time that the problem with Wirrkunda wasn't really a problem with food production, and tended towards sociology, at which point he became an admirer of Hobart. In time, he moved into planning and research in fields of health, anti-discrimination, and economic policy. He subsequently completed a master's degree in the history and philosophy of science at the University of Sydney. Along the way, he began in classical libertarianism, especially in Hayek's essay Why I'm Not a Conservative. And he claims to quote this: "Essays prove that it's no longer necessary to be a socialist to demonstrate that you have a heart, even at the age of 20 years. Now, Rafe's contributed to both prominent Australian journalist sites, Club Tropo and Cadillacs and Files, and he's been a long-time champion of the philosophy of Popper, as I mentioned, as well as the Austrian Hayek and the Mises. His publications include reports, papers, reviews, books, and newsletters across a great variety of subjects, cricket and boxing, to science, to political philosophy. Now, Rafe has a bit of history here with Mancow. He was kicked off the Club Tropo website as a contributor when the other moderators found out that he'd met Lord Monckton and the famous or infamous Mancow event that GetUp had a So, ladies and gentlemen, I introduce you tonight, Rafe Champion.
And, later on, the next day, I came past the table. I took a bit too close because Ron said, "Hello, Rafe." And I didn't actually, I forgot where the big kid's name tag was. And then he reached out and put a copy of the book in my hand. He said, "Rafe, nothing would give me more pleasure than to give you a book." Oh God, the poor guy refused to give him away. Anyway, a few minutes later I went on my way, $40 lighter, but with quite happy reading, you know, I think. So that reading was so happy that when I went fishing up the coast, I gave a copy of that book to my virtual my fishing companions. So I thought that okay, getting back to the John Tyne oration, the purpose of this is twofold. One of them, my purpose is quite simply to say thank you to John. The second reason is a broader agenda. It's an agenda of correcting the situation where the Left and the ALP very effectively celebrate their pioneers and their leaders and their heroes. I'm not suggesting we should overdo it in the way that they do, but I think we could do a lot better about acknowledging, remembering, paying tributes to, keeping the record alive about the people who have done good things for the non-Labour and the non-Left side of politics. Hence, I'd nag on to have a put on my oration. Well, eventually he caved in and just been plugging a lot. Here we are. I think Ron and I have agreed that this needs to be the first part of the program to do this, some kind of thing for other people, and perhaps even put together a collection of papers, a festschrift for John and for any other people we think are worthy of it. Mind you, we've not been completely neglectful. There's Hal Colbatch's book on his father, Hal Colbatch. There's that book that Hal finished off writing about Bert Kelly. There's a Shan memorial lecture, there's possibly a Clough lecture. Anyway, the cupboard isn't completely bare, but we'd like to see it better stocked. Okay, so before moving on again to John, I want to put two other people into the frame of this picture I'm painting tonight. The other two pictures of people in the frame are Bert Kelly and Peter Walsh. Bert, of course, doesn't need much introduction. He's a key figure in the education and development of the young John Holland, and a critical link in the chain of libertarians and free traders, which you can trace back to forgotten people in the 1930s. In fact, I've even forgotten who they are. I know where to look them up, but they're just not names that trip off your tongue. And that's not good. Not good. Peter Walsh gets a mention here for three reasons. He's a Western Australian. You guys got to celebrate their local boys, not just a footballers. He's a farmer, salt of the earth, and most importantly, Peter Walsh demonstrated that you can get good policy making done on the other side of the road, the other side of the political road. We've forgotten that in recent years, but there hasn't been much good policy coming from that side of the road. But there's not going to be a bad day across road if we can't get back to a situation that is decent policy being made on both sides of the house. Because in the same way as you can sometimes get good policy on both sides, you also get bad policy. So it's not really to celebrate any particular side of politics. We're going to celebrate classical liberalism, free traders, and that body of work we represent, which John Hyde represented with so much diligence and energy. So I'm assuming, as I speak, without checking with John. By the way, John what I wanted to assure John, at least some of the things I say tonight might be true, because I've written them in the book. I can't assume that everything's true, because I haven't checked it. But I'm assuming that, John, your first building was mostly with your farm. And that was demonstrated when I phoned up some while ago to speak to you, and tell you that, well, you can't actually talk to John until his son has some dough for helping on the farm with the harvest. So this was actually a reversal of the usual farming situation, where you have a middle-aged man still under the thumb of the old farmer who's going to get off the farm and then take over. A role reversal of that experience that goes. Anyway, despite this loyalty to the land and the farm, John had other loyalties. And I'd like to think of those other broader interests demonstrated by my own father, an ethos of community service, doing stuff that needs to be done. And this episode that really stuck in my mind about this, it happened when I was about 6 years old, and my father went out and put a shovel in the back of the car, and he drove down a mile of Champions Lane, gravel main road, and he filled in a big pothole with the shovel, getting loose gravel off the side of the road, putting the pothole. It was on blind corners, I couldn't see if he came and hit it. And I thought this was silly. It's partly tactful to say that, but just said the council workers are supposed to do this kind of thing. And my father said, any number of cars could break their springs in this hole before the council workers been around to fix it. So that seems to me to sum up, possibly, John's attitude towards going off the farm, fixing up potholes outside. Potholes that he would have found in the local government initially, and then moving on to the national scene, where he found more potholes. And of course, under the tutelage of Bert Kelly, he found the potholes were probably a bit different from the ones that he originally had in mind. He said, if you've got a funny thing in his book about Bert, Bert Kelly had to spend a lot of his time with his head in Samuelson. And I think it's a terrible shame that he had to spend so much time reading Samuelson, because Samuelson was a mathematical economist, he was a Keynesian, and he was wanting heavily in the big government and welfare state. And he also predicted right up to the fall of the law that the Russian Soviet economy was going strong and rapidly overhauling the US. So I don't think he regarded him as the worst economist that ever won the Nobel Prize. It's a pity that Bert spent so much time learning economics in that book, but of course Bert was far too close to the real world to be fooled by Samuelson. So it's just a myth, in fact. But everything that Bert achieved, whatever he did achieve, and whatever John achieved, had to be done in the face, in the fires of the trend of economic thinking, one other phrase. And not only the trend of economic thinking, but the trend of Australian politics, apropos of the role of government and tariffs and central wage fixing and all of that. So they really had to push a very big stone up a very steep hill. There's a beautiful passage on protection in Keith Hancock's book, Australia, which he wrote in 1930. I put it on my website, it's so good. You have protection in Australia. Has been more than a policy. It has been a faith and a dogma, which critics during the second decade of the 20th century dwindled into a despised and detested sect suspected of nursing anti-national heresy. For protection is interwoven with almost every strand of Australia's democratic nationalism. It is a policy of power, professes to be a policy of plenty, promises to the Australians the industries which are necessary in time of war, and also the enjoyments which are desirable in time of peace. When on democratic politics develops a theory of compensations under which the tariff elaborates itself, under an extensive tariff, one industry's protection becomes increasingly visible as another industry's cost. sooner or later that industry will be tempted to demand attention for itself. And there's a nice little quote following that. It might have been expected that the primary industries which produce for export would have revolted against this system. Instead, the weaker of them have adopted the policy of the French noblemen who declared while the monarchy was going bankrupt, while others hold out their hands, I hold out my hat. Mm-hmm. So that was the mentality that Burt and John had to push against. So I think that, and of course they did not make rapid progress. They did not make rapid progress. In my hanging file, I don't label you right, I've got cuttings set of the press from 1986. The reform agenda was practically happening about to. And yet, from both sides of politics, the most scurrilous things was being said about the economic growth. And you're right. Terrible things. I should have brought some to quote. But the words fascist were being used. And that type of language. And that was in 1986. This was after John and Bert and John were long gone from politics for that. Party politics in 1986. The road was long and the road was hard. I've mentioned John's book Dry, and I'm personally very grateful for that book, John, because years ago, particularly before you wrote it, I identified a need. A comprehensive story to tell about the Bible of good economic policy. The dead. You have to tell the story of those people whose names I've forgotten. But they go back to the 1900s, early on. And anyway, the point is, John wrote the book. I never needed to write the book. That saved me a heap of work in my retirement. Now, it's a bigger book than the one which is produced in form of paper. It was twice as big, I think. And the whole thing is on the IPA website, if you know where to find it. I found it last week. Mm-hmm. It's still there. And I'm going to make sure it's prominently displayed on my website. It's the full record. It's got lots of stuff, like the story of short story, December 2000, where I work, short while, which is not in the paper, published version. So the whole story is terribly important. I mean, poor old Colbatch, I think, had to put the axe through to be cut it down or size or publish or print it. But the full story is we need the full story. We don't want a sawn off story. We want the whole story. And there it is. Thank you for that, John. You saved me a heap of work. So I couldn't have done it. I couldn't have done it as well because John was there, you know, I didn't want it. So
news to me, I didn't know. I didn't know it was there.
You didn't know it was on the website?
No.
Yeah, well, I found it about 15 years ago. And then I put the years I couldn't find it. But then I found it again last week. It comes and goes. Anyway, we just about reached. Story, because the story is that John kept on. There were still potholes. Okay, he didn't go back on the farm. As mentioned, he started his own think tank in Perth, and then he worked with IPA. In hundreds of columns, he persisted with the work of advocacy, education, and policy development, and that activity is. It's pretty crucial. Nothing will happen without the work it's done, policy development, advocacy, and education. Work on that help. Now, John didn't travel alone, of course. He had wonderful doctors. I know, Dylan was always a wonderful doctor, because they were put up with people in his local think tank, with people in IPA. And of course, he's always been around helping without the series. So, I wanted to end up with a final, full version of Dry, which is on the bed, that might be eight, good shot. And just, that's it. I'm just, I'm so pleased to be have the privilege of coming all the way to Perth. It's lovely to be in Perth, meeting all the lovely people along the bus. Learned about one of the Nobel Prize winners. It's a great experience to talk with Man Cal, him and Christopher Longton doesn't turn up and create trouble for me. So thanks for having me, thanks for listening, and thanks to John for making it tap, making it work for it.
Thanks, Rafe. You put much emphasis on me. There were a hell of a lot of people in this team. I've attended a few funerals in my time, and I've noticed that the deceased usually acquires a few virtues that you haven't noticed. Just in case you went overboard, I put together a list of about 30 names of other people that were involved in this fight with me, some of them braver and better than I was. And Steve Lusher did that. I got belted around the ears for it. There were a lot of us involved. And thanks for being overly kind, mate.
Well, I guess the part of this exercise is to flush out the other people. You should be reminded about the other people. Okay, I forgot about the people in the 30s. Anything I write from now on, I'll make sure I know to bring up the people in the 30s. Anything I write about modern times, I'll bring up, at least I'll be aware of the 30 people on your list. And anything that I write beyond the length of a blog post will have 30 names in it as opposed to one.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ray. Just a couple of presents from us here at Man Cal and the Serenity Club. So thank you for making your way over to Perth. I'm going to hold that one underneath. It's not secure. There we are. Serenity Club. So thank you for making your way over to Perth. I'm going to hold that one underneath. It's not secure. There we are. Just a couple of good bottles of WA Red and our own brand of Man Cal.
From 1788 to the present day, a compilation put together by Jeffrey Lehman, Robert Gray, two very fine conservative poets. Not just poetry, it's got the life stories of all the poets. And I've got this to give John Hyde so he can take something home in his hand.
Oh, just bless you, mate.
And to wind up this evening, I'd just like to ask your manners.
I just want to say, that's the book we thank John so much for labouring over it. I know it was a long task, but John, without this book, that story of the period and the achievements of the Dryers could possibly be lost to history. And I'm one of the lucky guys. The timing of all this was when I was really active, very active in business, and I gained the benefit of seeing the Australian economy set free. And it would never have happened without the Drive. So, John, we guys at Man Cal Foundation are honoured to have you working with you. We're honoured to work alongside you. And I would
with
like...
30 friends.
and your 30 friends. Now, it's also John's birthday. It was on Saturday. So I think we start off by singing happy birthday.
Okay. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear John. Happy birthday to you. Pray! Pray! Pray!
Okay,
just to embarrass you further, John, we're going to pull down your birthday card up there and lay it on the board table for everyone to sign with this special birthday card signing pen.
Okay,
So I think that takes us pretty much to the end of formal proceedings, but we have some great Chelsea speeches on the way. This is Holly, so please have a drink and a chat, and dinner should be here in 5 minutes.
And Steve Lusher did that and got belted around the ears for it. There were a lot of us involved. And thanks for being overly kind, mate.
I guess the part of the exercise is to flush out the other people. You should be reminded about the other people. Okay, I forgot about the people in the 30s. Anything I write from now on, I'll make sure I know I'll bring up the people in the 30s. Anything I write about modern times, I'll bring up, at least I'll be aware of the 30 people on your list. And anything I write beyond a link to the blog post will have 30 names in it as opposed to one.
Thank you.
Thanks, Rob. Just a couple of presents from us here at Nankown Prosperity Club. So thank you for making your way over to Perth. I'm going to hold that one underneath. It's not supported. There we are. Just a couple of good bottles of WA.
Yeah. It's also John's birthday. It was on Saturday. So I think we start off by singing happy birthday.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday dear John. Happy birthday to you. Pray! Pray! Pray!
Okay, I'll flush out now.
Just to embarrass you further, John, we're going to pull down your birthday card up here and lay it on the board table for everyone to sign in this special birthday card signing.
I think that takes us pretty much to the end of...